now with over 25 years of experience integrating mental health and spirituality, the author of Reclaiming Authenticity, When Ancestors Weep, and Redeeming the Bereaved. Here is Dr. James Houck.
Well, hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the month of June. Good to have you here. Good afternoon, wherever you are in the world at this time. Welcome to Reclaiming Authenticity, finding one's courage to reclaim that which has always, and I mean always, been in you. Each and every week, these broadcasts are dedicated to the integration of spirituality and our mental health. That is certainly the focus of these topics and themes that I have been talking about each week. And not only with this integration of a spirituality and our mental health, it's also focused on our relationships. And I'll say a little bit more about that coming up here. But it is within the context of relationships, because we are indeed relational people. We are social beings. We are not meant to live on an island. We are meant to live with one another. However, there are times when being in relationships with other people, other parts of humanity, and so forth, we can experience our deepest physical, emotional, psychological, even spiritual wounds in and through these relationships. However, as we heal, we can certainly discover our greatest healing, a depth in our healing, greater strength, more peace, forgiveness, and love through healthier relationships. And we don't have to look too far when we just say relationships, because they just might be within our own families. They just might be with our coworkers, colleagues, and friends. And the beauty of this is that whenever we transform, we also transform others by our presence with them, by our grace, by our understanding. But first, the forgiveness, kindness, and compassion begins with how we treat ourselves. Because certainly, whenever we are compassionate with ourselves, we then can be compassionate with others. And when we are forgiving of ourselves, we can certainly be more forgiving of others. And when we are able to live in gratitude with ourselves and to be simply grateful for everything in our lives, we then discover how this opens up our hearts to see and to live in gratitude with others. So all in all, transformation, first and foremost, begins with us, but then it just expands. It has this wonderful ripple effect on all rest of our relationships. Well, I'm Dr. James Houck, and if you would like more information about me or leave me your comments about today's show, I appreciate that. If you do, please visit the website. It's www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. That's www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. And just want to pass on the information that these broadcasts are now podcasted in case you want to go back and listen again, or you can go back into the archives and listen to previous shows. And just wanted to thank everybody for your support over the past year. Yes, it has been 1 year since I have been doing this. And again, just thank you, everybody who has supported me. And just also wanted to say that now you have the opportunity to continue your support by becoming a monthly subscriber. Now, unlike other shows out there in internet radio land, you do not need a subscription to listen to my talk shows, but it is greatly appreciated. And I'm going to be putting more information on the website about how that you can support me and these shows. And you can just, it's very simple. You can just choose any amount that you feel comfortable in giving. And again, I'll provide the subscription link for you. So again, thank you for this. Well, how is your heart today? I hope your heart is well. I hope that you are well. And I hope that even if you're struggling today, perhaps in this hour you'll be able to find rest and comfort and the peace you need. Well, as I said just a few seconds ago, welcome to a very special one-year anniversary show today. And it's going to be focusing on the alchemy of authenticity, transforming dimensions of spirituality. Now, authenticity is just a favorite word of mine because it has just wonderful implications. But yet, being able to reclaim that which has always been in us may seem like a very daunting task. It may just seem to be too overwhelming and like, where do we even begin? But I am a firm believer that we all come into this world with everything that we need in terms of our gifts, our talents, our graces, our skills, our personalities, and so forth, all the positive things about us, all the very special things that there is to know about us. And we often go through life and we don't realize that many things can be layered over top of these, that it kind of keeps the very best of ourselves from coming out. And we often go through life in a place of woundedness or being in relationships with one another from that wounded place in us where we just keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And we wonder why we cannot heal. We wonder why we cannot grow. We wonder why we keep making the same stupid mistakes, for lack of a better word. Okay? But it is certainly true that we have everything that we need. You and I are really gifted, wonderfully loved, unconditionally people. And once we finally grasp that, and maybe not with our heads, but definitely with our hearts, definitely with our souls, and we step into exactly who we are as beloved souls of God, that opens up just a tremendous world for us and certainly enhances our relationships. Well, you've heard me say this before, but one of my all-time favorite books is The Alchemist. It's from the author Paulo Coelho. And if you have ever read The Alchemist, you know what I'm talking about. It is, you know, one of the best-selling books that are out there, a household name, as it were. But if you've never read The Alchemist, I highly encourage you to download a copy today, or if you're old school like me, buy a copy and just take it with you and enjoy the story, because there are many, many hidden lessons in this little book. So if again, if you have ever read The Alchemist, you also realize that the main character, Santiago, the shepherd boy, he has this journey that he is on from where he is to the Egyptian pyramids to find what he calls as his personal legend. And ironically, his journey has, in the end, literally brought him back to the place where he left. And the main point of the story is that Santiago, yes, has been on this external journey to the pyramids, but more importantly, he's been on an inward journey because he himself has been transformed along the way. And this is a powerful theme, not just in The Alchemist, the book of called The Alchemist, but also many lessons throughout our lives that we might consider ourselves to be on a journey. And we're so worried about getting to the end result or getting to the finish or whatever that end might be that we often miss the little lessons, the life-changing lessons along the way. Perhaps we are too busy looking at something else, or we assume that, the lessons are at the end. But again, we miss the journey. We miss the emphasis of that. We miss the, what are the lessons we need to pay attention to with every step that we take? Because transformation is ongoing. We don't have to wait till we get to the end of something in order to be transformed. We can be transformed along the way if we are open to it. Okay. So ironically, like I said, his journey brought him back to a place which he had left initially. Okay. And, you know, he himself was on this inward journey. And all in all, he was clearly not the same person he was when he left at the beginning. And this ties in quite nicely with a favorite quote of mine from T.S. Eliot, who says, "Let us not cease from exploration. And for all our exploring will be for us to arrive at a place where we started, and we will know it for the first time." So let us not cease from exploration. And for all of our exploring will be for us to arrive at a place where we started, and we'll know it for the very first time. And another prominent theme that runs through this book, The Alchemist, is that through the character Santiago, we often realize that when we really want something to happen, the whole universe will conspire so that our wish comes true. Okay? And it is this theme that ties us into today's topic, because this is something that I truly believe in, that whenever we are paying attention to what has been placed in our hearts and we hear the cry of our soul and we commit to that, the entire universe will make it happen if we remain open and teachable to every situation in our lives. And when we're able to do this, we also discover that we just may have been destined to embrace the cry of our soul all along. Well, throughout history, physical alchemy was and is concerned with altering and transforming the chemical properties within solid matter, such as changing lead into gold. Now, this was not something that we were taught in chemistry class because everybody would be bringing in their lead pencils, trying to change them into gold. And I don't know what where you were in high school, but they wouldn't let us play with fire like that. So anyway, but this is, you know, ancient alchemy, just transforming the chemical properties into something more valuable. But there's also a spiritual alchemy that is going on as well in a higher dimension. And it is concerned with freeing us and freeing our vast spiritual self, which is often hindered, you know, by the unrefined parts of ourselves, you know, our fears, our limiting personal beliefs, or our self-loathing. And spiritual alchemy is vastly more multifaceted, and it's ongoing than the physical alchemy or chemical alchemy. It is a continuous purification of our hearts, much like in the same way a smith will turn up the heat beneath a hopper that contains a raw mineral or a metal. And as the heat is increased, the dross or impurities, you know, come to the surface. They float to the surface only to be skimmed off, making the metal, which is left behind, more pure than what it was before. And then this process is repeated over and over and again until the metal reaches its finest purity that it can possibly be. And if we are paying attention, and if we desire this, and we listen to the cry of our soul, we too will go through this process of a spiritual alchemy of our authenticity. And how often does it feel like, you know, our lives today that the heat is being turned up, you know, through past and current events throughout the world? Therefore, when going through this process of a spiritual awakening, sooner or later, we're going to, you know, be confronted with the fact that there seems so much more to ourselves than the reality we are living in and what we have grown accustomed to. And this is why we need to pay attention to those groanings that occur deep, deep, deep within our hearts and in our souls. Listen to those cries. Pay attention to them. What do we yearn for? What do we ache for? What has God laid upon our heart? What has God started stirring in our souls? When we want something to happen, the whole universe will conspire so that that wish, that desire, comes true. Well, as we go through life, and depending on our circumstances in life, we may come to a place where we start to question what is true for us. You know, for example, maybe ever since childhood, we have a certain way in which we see ourselves, or how we see other people, or how we relate to God, or how we see the world at large. And when we've gone through an experience that really shakes us up or shatters our assumptions, we feel as though nothing makes sense anymore. We don't seem to have a sense of our bearings, let alone, you know, which way is up. And this could be a very unnerving state or place we find ourselves in, especially if we feel like all of what we have known is just starting to crumble and evaporate. And what can we hang on to? And we try to keep things from changing, but that's just not going to happen. And at times we can become so unsure of not only ourselves, but also whether or not if all that we see is all that there is. And yet, you know, when we're able to, you know, weather these storms or weather the changes and the transformations that are coming and what's going on in the world and everything else, trying to make sense of anything, we also may discover that through it all, something greater than ourselves is tugging at our soul. Have you ever felt that? I mean, call it a stronger nudge from God or a more intense dimensional energy or even a hunger that resonates deep within by compelling us to go and search to discover the vastness of who we truly are. And as we go on this journey, we discover that there are things we need to identify and let go of and transform in order to embrace higher, more intense spiritual dimensions. Or in other words, rising above those negative mental, emotional, physical, or even spiritual triggers that keep us from experiencing the fullness of unconditional love. You know, what's getting in the way of that? What's keeping us tied to an old way of life, a former way of life, which just no longer serves us? And this phenomena is at the heart of a multidimensional understanding of spirituality. Well, if you are a student of religion, you don't even have to be, but if you are, you'll know, you'll be quite familiar with this lesson. Because within every religion, you know, we have examples after examples after examples of how people have encountered a kind of spiritual crossroads, you know, where they can no longer remain in the place of who they are or where they have been. And now they have to find the courage to follow and to seek that which truly resonates in the depth of their souls. You know, what is this thing that God has started stirring within you? What is this thing that God has started stirring within me? It does take courage to follow that. But we have, in every religion, one example after another, that people come to that crossroad where they have to make a choice. They can no longer just remain silent. And there's a great, great example, just a wonderful transformation that occurs. And, you know, I'm sure that many people are familiar with the story of Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus in the book of Acts in the Bible. It's a great story. Now, prior to his conversion, Saul, from all outward appearances, was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee, just strict adherence to the law. and he was devoted to God and doing everything within his power and understanding at that time to follow what he believed to be God's purpose for his life. And then one day, he is traveling to Damascus, and he is met with a blinding light. And within this light, he hears the voice of Christ, which literally knocks him on his backside and transforms his world and changes his name from Saul to Paul. And then places this incredible responsibility on him, in which his life is no longer fueled by hatred or contempt for others, but now it's empowered by the unconditional grace, mercy, and love of God. And in this process, he's blinded for 3 days until he is led to the house of a man who allows him to rest and washes his eyes and leads him exactly where he needs to be to begin this higher dimension and this closer walk with God in his life. All for the sake of reaching others, not by using hatred and fear, but reaching into people's lives in order to lift them out of their misery and self-loathing or stigmas or contempt for one another. Well, even in the Bhagavad Gita, considered to be one of the main holy scriptures for Hinduism, the main character himself, Arjuna, struggles to understand who he really is as he listens to the wisdom of Sri Krishna. And Arjuna is standing on a battlefield on one side, and he's just overcome with fear by what and who he sees on this battlefield. I mean, he sees his family, his relations. He sees people that, once the battle begins, thousands and thousands will die. Blood will be shed. There will be intense, great suffering. And Arjuna is overcome with this. But Krishna teaches him to look at the war that's being waged inside himself first, because this is where the true battles are fought. The turmoil that exists within each of us who feel the pressure to transform, but are afraid to let go of a mindset that keeps us limited in our understanding of what authenticity looks like in the vastness of who we are. And this is the challenge before all of us, letting go of those things, those beliefs, etc., that no longer serve us because they have no life in them. And as I mentioned, this could be self-loathing beliefs. This could be a very subtle fear of failure, or even a more subtle fear of success. Or we might be thinking that there is nothing special to us, or thinking that we cannot get past our past, and any other belief out there that keeps us tied to the fear of discovering who we truly are. I mean, all of these thoughts and beliefs and assumptions, especially our assumptions, with listening to the head rather than listening to the heart. So let us take hold of something better, more life-giving. I mean, this experience of God has always and will always be meant for a positive, life-changing, life-altering transformation. Well, one of the teachings out there that I still hear, maybe not on a regular basis, but I hear it every now and then, is that the goal at the end of this life is to just simply make it to heaven, where then we can experience the fullness of God. And they said, it sounds great, but we can also experience the fullness of God now. And a passage in the Bible that I'm reminded of time and time again is that Jesus said that the pure in heart shall see God. But what did he mean by this? What does this purity look like? And what exactly will we see? Well, many people believe that Jesus meant that the pure in heart shall see God, let's say, one day in heaven. But what about today? I mean, can we see God in our everyday lives? Absolutely. It's just a matter of looking for God, often in the most unlikely places and often through the most unlikely people. I mean, we often make it more complicated than what it really needs to be sometimes. Okay. Well, unfortunately, down through the centuries, there has been a need to control, humanity's quest to experience the fullness of God in those unlikely places and, you know, unlikely people. Spiritual discoveries and encounters have often been attempted to be kind of squelched or snuffed out of fear that they occur outside the bounds of what is deemed as appropriate or timely. In fact, there was and always is an emphasis for people to look for God. However, as long as they look similar, act similar, think similarly, and worship God in a similar fashion. But anybody who has ever felt the transformative power of God has always, sooner or later, had to contend with transcending those bounds imposed by societal structures, whether those structures, you know, come from the educational, religious, judicial, or whatever. Because, you know, one thing we do have to keep in mind, though, it's not the physical structures that need to be transcended if we are to grow and evolve into embracing, you know, our vast self. It is the prejudices, the attitudes, the stigmas, the assumptions that have galvanized those structures for centuries. Now, for me personally, I had to take a closer look at just exactly how do I pray? What do I pray for? And I had to shift my prayers from my head to my heart, and especially meditating on my soul connection that I have with God. And when I did this, after a while, I started to see and hear all the layers of woundedness in me. Again, not in the malicious way that God brought to my attention, you know, but instead being shown all the things that needed to be healed. All the psychological, emotional, spiritual wounds that clouded my sight and sound of seeing and hearing the Spirit of God more clearly in my relationship. Well, we have come to that time in the hour where I would really love to hear what's on your heart about this subject. So, again, if you would like to call in, I would love to hear from you. I'd love to talk to you. The number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I will be taking your calls after the break. Again, you are listening to Reclaiming Authenticity, and I am your host, Dr. James Houck, and I'll be back with you in 1 minute. Okay, welcome back. Just a short break. I am Dr. James Houck, and you are listening to a special one-year anniversary show on reclaiming authenticity. And again, I just wanted to thank you for your support over the past year. I really appreciate it. I thank you for your comments, and a few of you have called in. Thank you. The year has just flown by. It's just hard to imagine that I had started this a year ago, and I had it was just something that was laid upon my heart, and something that was just very near and dear to me. It's just, how do we reclaim our authentic selves? Well, now here we are at the beginning of the second year of these broadcasts, and something else has been laid upon my heart, and that is the alchemy of authenticity. What is this spiritual transformation that takes place? And what is this purification process of becoming more and more and more authentic and going deeper and deeper, or higher and higher, I should say, into more of, like, say, a lighter dimension of our spirituality with God? And how does that play out in terms of our relationships? Okay. So, again, thank you for your support over the past year. And I just wanted to remind you that you now have the opportunity to continue your support by becoming a monthly subscriber. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, you do not need a monthly subscription to listen to my talk shows or even to go back into the archives and so forth, but it is greatly appreciated. So, as I said, I'll be putting a subscription link that you can go on, click on, and if you feel so led to choose a dollar amount, a monthly dollar amount, to continue supporting this show. Again, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. So look for that. And usually at this time in the show, I announce what I'm going to be talking about next week. Well, I have decided just to continue this theme of the alchemy of authenticity. It's, the spiritual transformation we go through, calling us into higher and higher dimensions, or a beingness of who we truly are. Okay. Well, in school, as I said, we may have learned in chemistry class that physical alchemy was and is concerned with altering and transforming chemical properties within solid matter, such as, the classic example of, changing lead into gold. Okay. And, like I said, in my high school, we were just lucky to get Bunsen burners, but they never taught us that. But everything, about alchemy, I learned outside of the classroom. And the same is true with the spiritual alchemy, as it is concerned with freeing our vast spiritual self, which oftentimes is hindered, by these unrefined parts of ourselves. And these could be in the form of anything from our fears, or our limited personal beliefs, or self-loathing, or any other thing that we have convinced ourselves or we have heard at any time in our lives that pretty much tells us there's nothing more to us, that we don't really have anything good to offer, or that, you've been a loser all your life, you're just going to continue to be a loser, or whatever it is. Those messages just have an ugly way of finding their way into our hearts and just keeping the very best of ourselves from coming out. But spiritual alchemy is vastly more multifaceted. It's very fluid. It's ongoing. And as I said, it's a continuous purification of our hearts, much in the same way, a metalsmith will turn up the heat, beneath a hopper that contains the raw mineral or metal. And if you've ever seen a smith, is just fascinating, because it takes a lot of patience, a lot of skill, and just a wonderful technique to be able to just identify as the heat is being applied and has increased, the dross or the impurities come to the surface as the metal is turned into a liquid and it is skimmed off, and it makes the metal purer than what it was before. And again, this process is repeated over and over again and again until the metal reaches its finest purity that it can. And you know, we too are going through a process of a spiritual alchemy of authenticity. You know, that is a call and an urging to move into higher and higher dimensions of our authentic selves. Okay, because how often does it feel like the heat is being turned up through, you know, past or even current events throughout the world? Okay, and all we have to do is just turn on the news and we are just bombarded with one thing after another. And we just kind of, you know, collectively shake our heads and say, when is it going to end? You know, how much more can we take and so forth? However, you know, when we go through a process of this spiritual awakening, you know, sooner or later, we are confronted with the fact that there seems to be so much more to us, so much more to ourselves than the reality that we're living in, what we have grown accustomed. Okay, but still, we may find ourselves, you know, often struggling with how we're triggered by certain events in the world. And yet at the same time, having a more intentional progression, you know, regarding our spirituality, and often finding the courage to let go of, say, these non-life-giving perceptions and experiences in order to embrace more of our higher dimension authentic selves. And we certainly can have a desire to live exclusively from a heart space of pure light and unconditional life, and unconditional love. And yet, we still have to live in a three-dimensional world, as it were. Okay? A world that's governed by time, and a world that's governed by space, or a world that's governed by structures and form. And we often live in a sequential order of, you know, a linear time of past, present, future that is experienced through our five senses of sight and sound and touch and smell and taste. And we're often pulled in the direction of opposites, such as how we are loved or not loved, right? I mean, how many of you have played that game as a child, you know, and finding a field and finding some daisies and, you know, you have a sweetheart and, you know, you say, she loves me not, he loves me not. And we keep going around and around that daisy until, well, we want to end up on, you know, he loves me or she loves me. And then we just go to the next daisy until we're able to, you know, get the odds in our favor. But we, you know, we grow up in the direction of the, you know, these opposites. And it's not just with daisies, you know, it's not just how we are loved or not loved. But what about what we have or do not have? Or how we connect, or how we disconnect. Or, and here is a very popular one today, are we good, or are we bad? I mean, and when you think about it, there's so many conditions placed on our relationships that want to pull us in the direction of these polar opposites. You know, conditions such as, well, if you want to be a good person, then you'll do that. Or if you want to be considered a good consumer in, you know, our society, then you have to do this. Okay. And that message is often, you know, translated, or we think we can translate it into our relationships. And we start placing conditions on one another and expecting people to live up to those expectations? Or how many times expectations were put on you? You know, that if you really love me, then you'll do this. And if you really cared about me, you would do that. And so on and so forth. But it's a moving target. You know, these conditions of if would never live up to them. Like I said, it's a moving target. And just when we think we can get close and grab it, the standard changes, you know, because it's conditional. And we're never meant to be able to attain those conditions. Because even if we think we can, there'll be other conditions placed on the relationship or relationships. Okay? And it's just how damaging conditions are in our society. you know, if, then. But these polarities are not so much a specific place than they are a state of being or a limited perception. Okay, and perhaps we often want to connect with God on this lower level of awareness. Okay, you know, we think that you know, God will certainly love me if I can do this, or now I'll have value, dignity, and worth in the eyes of God because I have done that. Okay? And, you know, as I said, we often want to connect with God, you know, just based on this lower level of awareness. And on one sense, or in one sense, that's fine. Because one thing that Scripture often emphasizes is that God is more than happy to meet us where we are. But I guarantee you that it's not God's ultimate desire for us to remain there. I mean, there's so much more for us to realize about God, the universe, and ourselves. Or, in other words, if we want to keep it really simple, we ain't seen nothing yet. And as we begin this process of a higher dimensional relationship with God, we will be reminded of all the negative psychological, emotional, and spiritual patterns within our relationships that keep us stuck in the past. We no longer wish to just simply, you know, dwell on those things in the past. We want to move beyond them. We want to transform them. We want to take on something better. And we no longer wish to find peace and grace and love, but rather, if we listen to just a deep, deep, deep cry of our soul is saying, yeah, but how about you become peace, grace, and love? I mean, that shifts things altogether. We're not just going around looking for peace and grace and love wherever we can find it, but rather through transformational grace, our relationship with God, we become peace, we become grace, we become love. And talk about the vibe we give off then. I mean, this sense of beingness just generates a powerful, positive energy field or a vibrant aura. I mean, others can even tell us before we speak. And we no longer have to worry about what we're going to say in a given situation. We can just simply be. We can just simply be present and allow ourselves to be fully present, not just with ourselves, but with others in any given situation. You know, our negativity bias, so to speak, means that we spend too much time ruminating over the minor frustrations we experience, you know, whether we're sitting in traffic or we have a disagreement with a loved one. And we may ignore the many chances to experience this wonder and awe and gratitude throughout the day. And, you know, many people believe that this sounds so idealistic that it just might not be possible in this lifetime for them to achieve. But again, the fact is that we have everything that we need to be able to live authentically. And by simply incorporating, as I mentioned last week, four statements into our lives every day. And, you know, last week I mentioned the author Ira Byock, who would call these things saying the four things that matter the most. And I call it finding our true selves through restoring and being in right relationships. I mean, either way, transformation occurs. And it's forgive me, I forgive you, thank you, and I love you. Forgive me for, and then you fill in the blank, I forgive you for fill in the blank. Thank you for fill in the blank. And I love you because fill in the blank. I mean, you want to change your mind and stop manifesting negativity in your life? as well as moving into a higher spiritual dimension and with your relationship with God, yourself, and others, then focus on forgiveness, gratitude, and love, and bring them into your heart. Restore the broken relationships in your lives. Reach out to those, even if it is not accepted. Offer it. Offer forgiveness. Express your gratitude. Appreciate love. Show your love without any thought of the outcome. And you know what? We will begin to experience God in the most unlikely places and through the most unlikely people, which is actually where God has been found all along. Higher spiritual relational dimensions of our authenticity not only heal, but also restores. And it leads us towards acceptance and peace. But it also compels us to bless, to gift, and to share this life-giving energy with others. I shared with you probably, you know, months and months ago that I've been to India 4 times in my life, and each time I learn something new about myself, or I learn something new about others, or even where and when God shows up. Again, in the most unlikely places and through the most unlikely people. Now, I've been trying my best to learn Hindi. You know, it's just one of these things. It's going to be a struggle for me. And I only know a few simple words and phrases in Hindi. But it was, when I was in India, it was connecting to others on a soul level that allowed us to truly communicate from who we are. It was like we gave each other permission to be authentic. You know, from simple gestures of folded hands and a gentle bow and greeting each other by saying namaste to giving a cup of tea, you know, being given a cup of tea from an elderly woman who wore her hardened life on her hands and in her face. It was a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul connection. And that's where God showed up. That's where God shows up. And it was clearly in, you know, a lesson I learned the last time I was in India back in December of 2019, you know. And like I said, this being my 4th trip, I wanted to do more intentional soul related experiences that I have not done so much, you know, before. And little did I realize that God heard that prayer and responded to me by saying, "All right, you say you want to see more of me? All right, here we go then. You will need to stop, be quiet, pay attention to the ordinariness around you." That sounds pretty easy, but it wasn't. Now, I'm a pretty big guy, and it's hard for me not to stand out in a crowd. So, you know, to go through India unnoticed was just not going to happen. Okay, people would certainly look and wonder, what in the world is this dude doing here? But it became more about a random person's desire to be a blessing to me that taught me to not only be more intentional in looking for God in the ordinary acts of kindness, but also this is exactly where the extraordinariness of God shows up. And this is something that my teacher, Bob Wicks, taught me long ago about tangible holiness. Well, there was a time when I wanted to visit Babaji's cave in Kolkachina in the Himalayas. And when I came down from the mountain, I was thoroughly exhausted because, well, even though we were at the foothills of the Himalayas, we were still a mile or so up. And as I said, I was coming down from the mountains and the legs were very shaky and I was exhausted. And of course, the air is a little thin up there. Okay. But when I came down to the bottom, there was an older woman who lived with her son and daughter in a very humble dwelling. And she, you know, brought out a chair and she's like, sit, rest. and she was making me a cup of tea. And, you know, she gestured for me to sit down. Maybe she thought I was going to get ready to fall down. I don't know. But at any rate, I sat down and I was grateful for the chair. But at any rate, the kindness in her eyes as she handed me the tea really touched my soul. It was just a very simple act of kindness and no other words were spoken. And I tell you, that was the most delicious cup of tea I've ever had. Another time I was visiting Vatsalya Gram, the ashram in Vrindavan, and they were offering free cataract surgeries for people in the town. And I had known that they had done this. I just, you know, lucked out that I was just there as they were, you know, performing these surgeries. And they performed over 300 surgeries in a few days. And as I walked around the ashram, I saw families living in tents and makeshift shelters, all to be close to their loved ones who were having surgery that week. And as I was walking around, you know, families and children would invite me to sit with them and have tea or share a simple snack, and all filled with smiles and gratitude to share what they had with a stranger. And I wasn't sure who was blessed the most, me or them, because although we didn't speak one another's language, we did share that soul-to-soul connection. And at another time, I also visited children who lived at the Vatsalya Gram ashram. And knowing that kids generally love music, I took my Native American flute with me. You hear this flute in the music before at the break and even after these shows. And so I took my Native American flute and I played for them. And I visited with them for about an hour, hour and a half or so each day. You know, after their lessons were over, classes were over, they would have some free time. So that's when I would join them. And we would just sit and they would teach me some games and I would play the flute and so forth. And quite often as I played, they would return a blessing, you know, by singing for me. And these were, you know, kids ages 5 through 7 years old. And one time I had visited a house where there were mentally challenged kids living there. And again, as I took my flute and I played, their eyes widened and their toothy smiles were certainly visible. And at one point, and I was playing, a young boy of about 8 or 9 years old who was born without sight started to sing along with me as, you know, as I was playing the tune. And the grandmothers and mothers and the aunts who were actually the caretakers of the children, they were all astonished. And I was told later through an interpreter that this boy had never sang before. In fact, he would often stay very, very quiet. Everyday examples of where God shows up. Giving a cup of cold water or tea. And when you have done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me, Jesus said. And when we're able to do this, it makes all of heaven start to do backflips. And they cheer. And they cheer loud. And God's not asking anything difficult from us. You know, God's asking us to visit the sick, visit those who are imprisoned, giving water, feeding, all these things we are certainly capable of doing. But what makes these ordinary acts of kindness transformational is that God shows up and it then becomes extraordinary. This is what we're being called into. This is the transformational times in which we live. To let go of those things that no longer provide life and to take on something far greater. It is indeed an alchemy of authenticity. We are called into higher and higher dimensions in our relationships with God and ourselves and others. grace-filled moments, teachable moments, life-changing moments. And as we minister to another in the physical sense, we also minister to others in a spiritual sense. As I said before, we often make it harder or even more complicated than what it needs to be. And yet God says to us, you do what you can do, I'll take care of the rest. And if we ever want to see the extraordinary grace of God, pay attention to the ordinary. Well, I am so glad that you have decided to spend this hour with me. As I said, it was just a special one-year anniversary. And again, thank you for the tremendous, tremendous support that you have shown me. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your wonderful comments. I certainly, certainly appreciate it. My name is Dr. James Houck. And you have been listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. I will be with you next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, noon Pacific Standard Time. And until we meet again, may God bless you and may God hold us in the palm of God's hands. Take care.
For an answer, or just to leave 1,000 comments, or prodding to buy a book by Dr. Houck, it's all there. Just wander on over to ReclaimingAuthenticity.com and click around. And we'll see you next Friday at noon Pacific Time on PBS Radio TV.